Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings. Gary Wellings.
Well, welcome to another edition of The Drift. Joining me in studio today, Brandon Drake.
As Freddie Boom Boom Washington would say, hi there.
There you go. Producing for us today, Derek Stone.
Hello.
Thank you, Derek, for coming in on another wonderful afternoon to get us going.
Cloudy Michigan, yes. Southeast Michigan, gray, overcast. This is the way it is for the next 6 months.
Exactly. Well, what we do on The Drift every weekend is talk to you about the stories of the week. We've got Obamacare issues. We've got some right to work we're going to start with today. But before we get to that, let's take care of a little business. Our sponsor this half hour is H. Lehman Equipment. Located at 284 East 6 Mile Road in Whitmore Lake. That's right off of US 23. If you're a farmer, if you're a gentleman farmer, a hobby farmer, if you're a landowner, or just have yourself a nice big yard, you need some new equipment.
Gentleman farmer.
Let's not even go there. Coyote Equipment, LS Tractors, they've got some great deals on 0% interest. So if you don't have a lot of money to put down, or can't afford to buy outright, call H. Lehman Equipment at 734-994-6000. That's 734-994-6000. Or go to their website, www.aeschliman.com. Mark's up there, great guy to work with, very friendly staff. They got a great service department, giant slew and selection of tractors and right now, being the fall, you can get some fall clearance items on lawnmowers, the big ride-em lawnmowers, not these little things that, you know, you buy at Kmart. These are man's tractors, you know what I mean? So give them a call, 734-994-6000, and even if you're a farmer, get in there and get some of their bigger equipment. So the big news this week really was Obamacare, but I wanted to start out with something. It's pertinent across the country, but right here at home, we had a classroom assistant in Pinckney, of all places, Pinckney, Michigan, who was suing the MEA, Michigan Education Association, to get out. On September 4th, she gave notice that she was going to get out of the union, not pay her dues, and they said, oh, no, we're sorry. You had to quit between August 1st and August 31st.
It's in the fine print.
Yes. Now, you'll remember back in August, we were telling people, hey, teachers, make sure you quit before the end of August, and so we did our part, but a lot of teachers don't know. I mean, obviously, the union is not telling them, hey, if you're going to quit, you got to be out between August 1st and August 31st. Now, she's filed a lawsuit, and she's stating that the new right-to-work law here in Michigan will let her out of the union at any time and that they cannot continue forcing her to pay her dues. Fair?
Sounds, yeah, I mean, the spirit of the law, it sounds like it's a very reasonable approach and mentality to have.
Okay. She's receiving some free legal assistance, which is nice, from the National Right to Work Foundation and their staff attorneys. And across the state, there has been a number of these issues. You know, the MEA is saying only 1% of all their teachers actually left the union. You know, so why were you fighting it? If you're doing that good a job and 99% want to stay with you, why'd you make such a big stink about it? But if you read Michigan CapCon, and I always tell people go to Michigan CapCon, read through some of the articles about teachers who are fighting to get out. And Mackinac Center is also representing some of these teachers who are trying to get out. I mean, it's the right to work law. You should not have to be forced into a union. I'm going to pay if I'm getting some return on it. You know what I mean?
I wonder how much intimidation there is when you're going to work on a daily basis from your fellow teachers or, you know, if it's in the auto industry, your fellow workers on the line, you know, the innuendos that may be given or outright threats.
Right. Well, I have a Facebook friend who is a teacher up north. I won't say city or name or anything, but she couldn't wait, you know, and as soon as that deadline, that window opened up, she was out. And she said, you know, hey, and she announced it on Facebook that she got out, you know. But she said the pressure was very bad. I mean, people were giving her some grief.
Did her tires get slashed, anything like that?
Well, no, none of that, but I'm sure in some places that has happened. You know, it has happened before in the auto industry and whatnot.
Oh, almost SOP.
Yeah. So,
teachers too. Washtenaw Community College professors, I remember a while back, they're out there radical, you know, banging their signs on cars if you tried to cross the so-called picket line. And this is years ago, but I'll never forget it.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny that the union is acting like that because there was another story that came out on MLive this week. Okay. Union calls for boycott of Eastern Michigan University student teachers.
Right, because, well, go ahead, yeah.
So it's perfectly okay. So the unions are now like, they're eating their young? Does it get any more disgraceful than this? These are young student teachers being boycotted by teachers' unions. I mean, let's kind of read this a little bit. Lincoln Consolidated Schools in Ypsilanti was identified as persistently low achieving by the state in 2011. Teachers' union members at the school, as well as five other school districts in Washtenaw County, are supporting a boycott on student teachers from EMU because of the college's partnership with the state's Education Achievement Authority. Obviously, a Rick Snyder thing. So, you know, can't have anything to do with Rick Snyder. So let's eat our young and not allow them to participate as student teachers.
At the expense of young people that want to enter that profession.
Yes, that's exactly right. Teachers' unions in six Washtenaw County public school districts are supporting a boycott of student teachers from Eastern Michigan University. And I've got a list in here somewhere. I'm trying to find it. The Washtenaw County Education Association sent letters to all of the teachers in its union in April advising them not to accept student teachers from EMU. I'm outraged. How absolutely ridiculous is this? You know, I picked the story up on Facebook, actually. So, you know, Facebook has its benefits. And I know you don't like Facebook. Are you doing anything with it?
Not really.
I haven't seen a post from you.
No.
You should be posting the show.
I'm like the NSA. I monitor.
Okay. So, though the letters were signed by the WCEA president, they were sent on behalf of teachers' union presidents in Dexter, Chelsea, Lincoln, Saline, Whitmore Lake, and Manchester schools, all WCEA members. So, the presidents of these teachers' unions in these each individual school districts, you know what? Shame on you. Shame on you. Just because there's some association with Rick Snyder's educational authority, you know, trying to do things, trying to make things look. You know, I'm no fan of Rick Snyder, okay? He's a rhino, but he's way better than the alternative.
Right.
Okay? Am I going to boycott Rick Snyder and not vote for him?
Yeah, no. I know what you're saying. Yeah, you're not going out on the rampage for Rick Snyder. You're just saying in this case, their excuse, these teachers, it's pathetic.
Right. And you know, the alternatives are Rick Snyder. Mark Schauer, please. Goofball.
You know, these poor teachers in Saline, for example, the average pay is $80,000 a year. That doesn't include benefits. So you know that some of these teachers are probably making over $100,000 a year.
Oh, yeah.
Plus all the benefits of the health care, the pension, all the days off they get during the year. I mean, I hear this about poor teachers. It's a myth. It's
well,
an urban legend.
There are some, though. I won't draw that broad a generalization because I do know teachers who start out at $36,000 a year. Now, they may have good benefits and whatnot. A lot of them now, the new ones coming in, have lower salaries, and they don't have the golden benefit package that these other teachers have.
Well, I know in Washtenaw County, even in like Ypsilanti and Willow Run area, it looked like the average is around $67,000 a year. In pay, which is pretty good.
Yeah, well, it's good pay.
And, you know, I wouldn't consider that poor and being so abused.
Yeah, I frankly.
Especially when the taxpayer is paying that. Yeah. And it's essentially a part-time job. I hear teachers will tell me, friends of mine, they'll say, well, you don't understand. You know, we have homework, papers to grade, all that kind of stuff. Well, you know what? Look at the job you're in, Gary. The job I had when I was in automotive. It's not a straight 8-hour job and you get out.
Right. Yeah, it's frankly, it's just disturbing to me that, you know, once again, here's teachers now hurting young teachers who want to get their student internships done.
Yeah,
how do you justify that in anybody's book? Okay, well, anyways, so I'm not beating up on teachers.
It's a special interest group.
Yeah, I'm not beating up on teachers. I'm beating on these. I was going to use the word. You saw it coming, didn't you? I'm not going to say that word. We're going to use some elegance and say these union hacks who control the union and suck up the teachers' union dues. They do other things with it. So how about the teachers' union, National Education Association, fighting a congressional bill that would keep – it bans sex offenders from the classroom? Good bill? You think that should be a bill?
Sounds logical.
It sounds common sense. It sounds logical. And yet the National Education Association, teachers' union, is fighting it.
And their reasoning is?
Well, there's obviously some teachers who are sex offenders. Now, granted,
we have to protect our brothers and sisters.
Yes. I know that they'll say, well, so-and-so was caught urinating in public and is now on the sex offender list, and they shouldn't be thrown out of their teaching position. Whatever. You know, use some common sense and don't urinate in public. It's common sense. If you're doing that, you're probably drunk, and frankly, as a teacher, you should know better. Right?
And it's the law.
And it's the law, you know. Do it at your own risk, and the risk is being on a sex offender list.
I mean, urinating in public, I mean, what about the children?
Who does such a thing?
What difference does it make?
Dude, that was a good help. We're going to get to her later on. Don't get me started on that. But that's just an outrage that, you know, these unions would do this to the young teachers and then go the other end of the extreme, and they're protecting a sex offender. Let's take a call from Mike on line one. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. I'm enjoying listening to you guys as I'm driving here. I just want to share with you that, you know, I married into a family that it's private sector union members, and there's also a good number of public sector union members, most of which are teachers. And we've had some interesting conversations, especially with the teachers, because when it comes to benefits, a lot of times the teachers have been very smart. They know that asking for raises is not popular with the taxpaying public. So a lot of what they do is deferred income and then greatly enhance their retirement benefits, which kind of flies under the radar screen. And just for an example, recently under Schneider, I believe it was, they wanted to take the copays for prescriptions, which they were at $2. They wanted to take them to $5. And the teachers just thought, oh, my God, this is terrible. Well, I get my insurance. I'm in a union household, and I get mine to the private sector union, and my copay and my prescription is $30, and I have to take generic first, okay? So they squawk for going from $2 to $5, and I'm at $30, and I'm a union member household as well. Also, the teachers, they have the option with the way their pension is built now. They have their pension, plus they have their deferred savings accounts that they load a lot of money into, and they can retire at 55 with medical benefits paid by us taxpayers, the kids frying french fries at McDonald's, paying for their health care until they turn 65 and go on Medicare. It's the biggest scam perpetrated against, you know, a lot of low-wage taxpayers in Michigan subsidizing these gold-plated pension plans, let alone their salaries.
Right.
So I think that they're really disingenuous when they're sitting here crying poor all the time. They need to look at, just compare themselves to private sector union members and have their benefits be, you know, somewhat in line with what we're paying, and we would save a lot of money.
Right. And Mike, you're right. That's why I'm always outraged, is because you have this propaganda out there, this myth, this urban legend that these teachers are so abused, they're so underpaid. They have a master's degree, so they deserve to make so much more. I don't buy any of that. I mean, if they would just kind of even be somewhat honest and say, you know what, I've got a pretty good gig here, and I'm going to do my best to protect this special interest gig that I've got, I'd have a little more respect for that. But when they always cry the blues about, you know, oh, now my copay is going from $2 to $5, the example you gave, it outrages me.
Yeah, my copay is $20.
And to give this comparison of a public, you know, union versus the private sector union, how about the public union paying compensation, the whole package, to a non-union private sector person? There's no comparison.
Well,
so for these teachers to complain and cry is even more stupid.
Well, here's part of the problem. And I've always said this to my private sector family members. The private sector people have to compete against the non-union and the illegal. Public sector people don't have to compete against anybody.
Right.
And so they have no idea what they have. I mean, look, they have no fear of being held accountable for inferior performance.
You know, now this is where I will side with teachers, and it has nothing to do with pay. Our culture has changed such that, okay, let me back up. When I was growing up, if I got in trouble in school and the teacher called my parent, I was in deep you-know-what. The parent knew the teacher was telling the truth. This is what her son did, and I was in big trouble. Now, when a kid gets in trouble in the classroom, guess what? The parent comes down there and beats the crap out of the teacher. The parent becomes the defense attorney for this kid who's doing rotten things.
The thing of it is, guys, the teachers are falling victim to their own political correctness, liberalism. I mean, they were the ones that promoted this type of new environment.
Good point.
And now all of a sudden it's coming back and negatively impacting them, and now they're trying to cry that they're a victim. They're the ones that
Excellent
promoted that
point.
Type of an atmosphere in there. And I'll tell you, my son, I had him in private education up until high school, and then they went into the public system for high school. And I'll tell you what, the environment within the public school system is not tolerant of people with traditional values, let alone conservative values. My son would challenge his teachers, and when he would be able to point out, like you guys do with facts, a different point of view, he was asked to leave the classroom because he was disrupting it.
Right.
Yeah, so much for
tolerance,
freedom of speech, and intellectual discourse.
Yeah. Well, great points, Mike. I hope you don't get any trouble from the family when you get off air.
Well, you know what ends up happening with the family is now that none of them are getting retired, and it's kind of like now they're becoming more conservative, and I really think that a lot of the, I will tell you about the public sector, excuse me, private sector union members, 40% of them that are making, you know, 50 grand or more, they disagree with their union leadership. I mean, they think at a minimum, that they should be nonpartisan and go to the best candidate. 40% of union members in the private sector vote Republican.
Hey, Mike, are you in the auto industry?
I am not. I am actually in the food industry.
Okay. I just wanted to give a quick example. My dad, you know, he retired from General Motors after like 38 years, and he wasn't in the union, but it was like a blue-collar type job. But he's conservative, and he's in Macomb County, so all of his friends are basically UAW guys. And, you know, they go down to the Elks Club, the Eagles Club, all these places, and they'll have these debates. And one of the things my dad told me several years ago, he said, I think Chrysler was on strike. And my dad, again, is a General Motors guy. And these guys are saying at General Motors, they're saying, you know, we have to support our Chrysler brothers. And my dad said, they're not our brothers. That's a separate company. That's the enemy. You know? I mean, so there's no sense of competition, or it's just that union mentality is a difficult thing to pierce through.
You guys have given me a lot of time, and I appreciate it. But one thing that is what you're talking about with your father and the UAW, even compared to the other private sector unions, UAW is not looked upon very fondly by a lot of the other private sector unions.
Good.
Yeah, well, they don't deserve it.
That's right, they don't.
They looked at the UAW, the way that they have operated was giving, they feel that the UAW has given a lot of the private sector unions a bad name. They tolerate very poor performance and protect them at all costs. Where, hey, go talk to a carpenter or somebody in the building trades. There's no such thing as seniority on that job site. You can be a 2-year person or a 20-year person. And at the end of the week, if they got to cut that job down from 10 to 7, they don't go by seniority. They go by who's the most productive. And that keeps everybody on their toes. And that's on a union job site.
Yeah,
and
that's
fair. I'll bet that carpenter isn't punched in and not there like a UAW guy used to be able to do. Maybe still does.
Yeah. Well, great. Thanks for the call, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Appreciate it. Well, there you go. And that comes down to the differential between private benefit packages and public benefit packages. Now, Mackinac Center just came out, another study came out, $5.6 billion could be saved in the Michigan state of Michigan budget if you took the benefit packages of public sector employees and made them on par with private sector. $5.6 billion. Do you know what that does to the budget of this state?
You know what?
It would solve every issue we've got.
That's just too logical. Just too logical. And Mike made a really good point. He said there's really no competition. You know, it's just this bastion of corruption.
Yeah.
Where the taxpayer is being, starts with an R. I'm not going to say the word.
Yes. Yes. We'll try and keep it smooth. But it's exactly right. Benefit packages need to be more on par with the private sector. It's that simple. It's called civil servant for a reason. You are there. You get treated well enough. I don't know of someone like that who's being mistreated.
And how many of these public employees over the years have retired, full package, pension, health care, you name it, and then come back as a, quote, consultant?
Yes, yes, I make mine. Let's take a call from Ken Livonia. How are you doing, Ken?
Oh, doing great, doing great. I just want to make a quick comment regarding labor unions. Now, I had been a UAW member for over 18 years. When I first got involved with the union, when I first hired into the company, I had quickly realized just how corrupt they were. And it's important to stress, whether it's public or private, labor unions are a cancer. They've got to be crushed. They've got to be extinguished. They've got to be eliminated. Now, in my particular case, I was fortunate enough that I was able to apply for a religious objector status. What that means is that I actually have religious beliefs. My church has religious teachings in opposition to labor unions, which meant my case, I was able to apply through the UAW to make arrangements so that none of my union dues came out of my check. I was actually allowed to give what would be the equivalent to my union dues to a mutually agreed upon charity. The union didn't like that I did this, but I had the legal right to do it. And I think a lot of people, if they can prove that they have religious reasons why they hate labor unions, and it doesn't have to necessarily be your church itself, but you personally have religious objections to it, you can also do that. Make sure that you apply for religious objector status.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, Ken. You know, if you get time, could you email me some of that information? Because I'd like to spread that around a little bit, but I know absolutely nothing about that. My email's gary@thedailydrift.com.
Well, I'm not, I don't have computer access, but I had learned about it through the National Right to Work Foundation.
Okay.
And the basic of it was tied into the 1964 Civil Rights Act, where having to do with the terms of your employment, this would apply to the union, it would apply to the company, they cannot discriminate against you on religious grounds.
Okay.
And so if you have legitimate religious issues on labor unions, then you could apply for this status.
Okay, awesome. Well, thanks, Ken. I'll have to do a little homework on that. Appreciate the call.
Take care.
I was just going to say, if we still had Ken on the line, that 18 years in the UAW, I was wondering if you could give us an example of you know, one of the more terrible abuses on the plant floor of
I'm sure
causing inefficiencies, if you will.
Yeah, I'm sure Ken's got a like anybody who's been in the UAW that long would probably have a ton of stories.
Yeah, call us back next week, Ken, and give us an example.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Amazing. But it goes to show you, right to work is working, but the unions are doing everything they can to stop the hemorrhaging, because I think, you know, some of them are saying only 1% are leaving. I'm not buying that. You know, if it was an open door policy, you can quit at any time and not have this. I don't even know if it's legal to have a window, but can you get out? You know, and then how many other people, because contracts were put into place before the right to work went into effect, how many people got screwed in that?
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of maneuvering up front to try to circumvent.
Right,
you know,
right.
So
I think the figure is 145 school districts or contract, I can't remember which one, in the state got shoved into place before right to work took effect. So they have to live by it for, you know, 8 years in some cases, like Washtenaw County. I think they went 10 years. So, all right. Well, when we come back, we're going to hit Obamacare and some of the problems associated with it. We'll see you on the other side.
Talk 1600.
Hey, my blood brothers of freedom. This is Ted Nugent.
Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse.
God bless Ann Arbor and Wham Radio. I started doing interviews on Wham Radio around 1966. I celebrate and promote the God-given individual right as guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution, Bill of Rights, for us to defend ourselves, to keep and bear arms. And just to make sure everyone understands what we the people understand, keep can only mean one thing. That's it's mine and you can't have it.
Wham.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. Court documents unsealed 17 years after JonBenet Ramsey's killing in Colorado, and tomorrow we'll be hearing from the current county DA on the unsolved murder in a newspaper op-ed. According to the information released Friday,
a grand jury indicted John and Patsy Ramsey in 1999 for child abuse resulting in death and being an accessory to a crime that resulted in first-degree murder. The DA at the time didn't file charges, citing lack of evidence. John Ramsey's attorney, Lynn Wood, says DNA evidence exonerated the Ramseys in 2008.
To now come in and release these four pages, not even a sliver of what the grand jury considered.
He says all of the records should have been released.
Fox Radio's Jessica Rosenthal and police say a tenant man's been arrested after trying to board a flight at JFK in New York with a loaded rifle in his checked luggage. Fox News, we report, you decide.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of the Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
No matter where you are in the world, whether you have a radio or not, you can listen to Wham Talk 1600. All you need is a computer or even a smartphone. Just go to whamradio.com and click on the Listen Live link. See the latest updates to whamradio.com and be sure to listen live. From Santa Fe to Boston, Japan to England, wherever you may be, Wham Talk 1600 is there. Online and streaming live, whamradio.com.
Littlefield & Sons Furniture Service at 251 Jackson Plaza Drive in Ann Arbor are the premier furniture refinishing experts. They strip, refinish, and repair all types of furniture, and they will help you with restoration of your priceless antiques, too. And Littlefield & Sons will pick it up and deliver it back to you, and they give you free in-home estimates. For all your high-quality furniture refinishing needs, it's Littlefield & Sons Furniture Service at 251 Jackson Plaza Drive in Ann Arbor. Call 734-668-1700 or visit them on the web at littlefieldfurniture.com.
Penny's Caravan is on location every weekend at Everett's, circa 1962. Join Fast Eddie for a doo-wop extravaganza and a California burger. Then we'll race up to the NW in 5 seconds flat.
Tune in for Eddie's Caravan with Fast Eddie, Saturday evenings from 6 to 8 on Wham! You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Joining me in studio, if you're just joining us, Brandon Drake.
Pleasure.
And calling back on the phone, Ken from Livonia. Ken, how are you?
Doing pretty good. I just wanted to answer your question that they had brought up at the end of the segment.
Do tell.
Well, the biggest issue when I describe that the labor unions are a cancer and how dangerous they are. And this is not a isolated incident. I have family and friends that are labor union members in different aspects of the unions. And the one thing that was very common, we were encouraged not to work as fast as possible, not to work at the fastest speed that we could work at, because the whole idea was to bring in more members. So in other words, we were never encouraged to give 8 hours work for 8 hours pay.
Yeah, that's just standard. Yeah, that's just wrong. I thought you were going to bring up the drugs or something else in the market.
That's part of it. I mean, there's a lot of drug and alcohol abuse that occurs in the auto industry, and that is a problem.
Did you ever see, Ken, where people are punched in, but they're not physically there at work? Their buddies punch them in, and they have a little system of the buddy does both jobs while the other guy's out fishing or running another business or what have you?
Well, that's normal. That's commonplace, especially on Friday. You punch in and you go to the bank on Friday, or you go to a golf course during the week, or you go home during the week. And there again, it's an issue of you come in, you might do 2 hours worth of actual work, 3 hours actual work, but then you're gone the rest of the day.
So then let's compare that mentality and those actual actions on the plant floor and 100 other things we could list off. How do we compete against the Chinese and the Japanese and all these others that certainly don't have that mentality of work ethic?
Well, that's the problem. You can't. I mean, the Chinese, I have friends who are Chinese, the Japanese, I know some Chinese people, they believe in 8 hours work for 8 hours pay. They are hardworking people. Problem is, we have a mentality here in America that it's owed to
entitlement.
Job is owed to
entitlement mentality. That's
and so it's not only the pay and benefits. You know, when you hear the mantra here of the union saying, "Well, make it a level playing ground, and we can compete with anybody in the world." Well, yeah, let's make it a level playing ground by you people actually doing the work that you were hired to do.
Well, the problem is you have, I would say, a significant number of people that when they're hired in, especially if they're hired in at a young age, that they don't have a proper work ethic. I mean, I was raised, my parents taught me when I was young, that it's an obligation. 8 hours work, 8 hours pay. You work as best you can, as hard as you can. Fortunately, we have a society today, and especially amongst the young, they're as lazy as they come. They don't want to produce, they don't want to work as hard as they can.
Right.
And there again, how can we compete with the Chinese and the Japanese and other countries that are different from us?
Yeah, we can't. What happens is we become a third world country until people start working hard again, which is what it is.
Until we reach rock bottom.
Awesome.
Well, that's what the Democrats want. That's what Barack Obama wants. He wants us to be a third world country.
Yep.
Barack Obama hates America.
He does. Well, great. Thanks for the call. I appreciate
it, Ken.
And call us again next week.
Take care.
I mean, that's exactly right.
Now, a lot of people will argue, oh, how can you say this about the unions? They're so much smaller now, and there's very little union membership left. Yeah, because they created their own debacle. Economic reality eventually catches up.
Yeah. Well, let's move on, shall we? I've kind of spent way more time on that than I planned.
Yeah, I think it was deservedly so.
You think?
I do.
We've got John calling in from Farmington. John, go ahead.
Hi. How's it going, you guys? Good to talk to you again.
Good to hear from you, John.
Listen, on your station, but a different host, just the other day, the woman that heads up Rattle With Us Tea Party and the other members are going to be showing up to the Cultural Center in Plymouth on the 9th, Saturday at 7 o'clock, and it's a free event. And she's exposing everyone to understand Agenda 21. And Ann Arbor has this thing called the Green Belt, like Green Belt Wave type thing, and it sounds real good. They give them these names, as she says, so that you think you're preserving the property. But what's happening is through Agenda 21, it's misleading, and then they buy up all the lots. And your property, you own it, but they buy the rights. And so you can't have a farm. You can't do a swimming pool, a fence. You can't do a strip mall, anything.
Yeah, and it's so it's designed to stop development is what it is. I live in Northfield Township, and Ann Arbor's trying to steal our land all the time with that green belt stuff. And it screws our little township out of tax money because then we can't build a store, a building, a factory, some houses. Yes, that's exactly right, John.
Hey, I've got a quick question for you, John, about Agenda 21, and you seem to be very knowledgeable about it. This roundabout that they just built at Ellsworth and State by Costco, yep, and just south of Briarwood, is that part of Agenda 21, these crappy roundabouts that everybody hates?
I like them.
This thing is a disaster.
I'm sorry, I like that.
They had it closed down for months.
Yeah, I know. It's a pain in the butt when they get it working. But
well, what's happening with those is the person that's objecting is the lawyer, the son, Sam Bernstein's son. He's blind. And he's been wanting to go to court with this, and he's advocating that when a blind person goes up to those intersections, they can no longer use them. They can't tell where the cars are. They can't tell the sound.
So wait a minute. A blind person in a roundabout?
No, not driving.
Is this like Mr. Magoo?
No.
He just seems to somehow make it work.
Sam Bernstein's son is a lawyer. He's very, very good at law. He has everything memorized. When you know you're up against him, you better be on your toes because he's all pure by sound, and he's objecting to the roundabouts because
he wants to sue
because you cannot function as a blind person at that type of an intersection.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I never thought about that. Maybe he's got a valid point. Maybe we need to figure that out before
but
we
you know
move
what?
To roundabouts.
The way people drive these days, he'd fit right in.
Yeah, exactly. But this the meeting is going to be important for people to come to. It's free. It's at 7 o'clock on the 9th at the Plymouth Cultural Center. And people need to show up so they can start to be informed so we don't lose all the property at Salem Township, Ann Arbor, in Oakland County, where I live. They've already been throwing in smart meters, whether you want it or not.
Right. Well, tell us that date again. It's October 9th at 7, John?
No. We're past October 9th, November 9th.
Oh, November 9th.
Sorry. October 9th at 7 o'clock at the Plymouth Cultural Center. It's totally free. Okay. You can remain anonymous, and they want you to come on down and listen to what they have to say. Also, they're going to be celebrating the birthday of a couple that are conservatives that are going to be going to Texas to get into meetings to help thwart back a lot of the things that are being rammed down our throats.
Right. Okay, great. Well, thanks, John. Appreciate the call.
Your other night.
God bless.
All right, take care. Yeah, November 9th. Sorry, I'm behind schedule.
I'm teasing you.
Yeah, Mr. Magoo. Yeah. You threw me off with the Magoo thing. Okay, so.
Gilligan, my boy.
All right, so let's move on to Obamacare because I think it's important. With all the problems, right, time to bring in the troubleshooter.
What problems? Come on, you're just a muckraker.
Yeah, I'm just polluting the airwaves with this, right? So Obama's bringing in the troubleshooter. Catherine Sebelius is a complete buffoon. Obviously, can't get anything done right. Can't even go on Jon Stewart's show
and make
a good showing.
She's the Hillary Clinton of HHS.
Yeah, she's a complete buffoon. Absolutely.
What difference does it make?
Yeah. So let's run this track one, Derek, and we'll announce who the new guy is if you haven't been watching the news.
President Obama has named a trusted economic advisor to lead the team to work on improving the website for the Affordable Care Act. Jeffrey Zients has been the acting director for management and budget. He'll lead in January the National Economic Council with a task of improving the website that has a long waits and frustrating registration process.
Okay. So, does that name sound familiar? Does it ring a bell to you, Jeffrey Zients?
No.
No? He was the budget director, OMB guy, mm-hmm. right? You don't remember the show? Well, you weren't doing a lot of shows with me last year. But I made a stink about it. The media didn't make a stink about it. Where's Mr. Zients from? Bain Capital.
Oh.
Well, so the hypocrite in chief made him his director of management and budget and now brings in the ex-Bain Capital guy to run Obamacare.
Did he share a cubicle with Mitt Romney?
I don't know, but you know who one of the people that works in the contracting company from Canada is Michelle Obama's college roommate. They got that contract. Yes. Isn't that amazing?
What a small world.
$640 million. We got to give it to somebody. Let's give it to my roommate.
Oh, that's a coincidence.
Hello. Hi.
She was a...
Yes.
Hey, girl.
You know, you want to talk about the corruption. This is just and hypocrisy because, you know, the media doesn't pick up on this. Jeffrey Zients, oh, yes, office. No, he was a former Bain guy before he became the management and budget director. Okay, so now we bring this Bain guy in to fix Obamacare. Maybe he's going to cut it up into pieces and sell it. Maybe it's a good thing, right? He's going to Bain it out of here. Yeah, maybe. Let's take a phone call from Jenny. Jenny, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. I am, now you know I'm totally blind. Okay, I know all the blind jokes. I tell them all.
Yeah, so how do you feel about roundabouts? I never thought about that, Jenny. Tell me.
Yeah. Well, you know, no, really. You know, it's hard for blind people to even deal with turning right on red intersections.
Yeah, yeah.
Truly.
Yeah.
You can't hear the traffic pattern anymore, not the right way.
Right.
Hey, and Jenny, I want you to, you know, and I think you know this, I was not making fun of blind people.
No, I know. I'm joking around with you.
Yeah, no, I know, but yeah, I just want you to know Jenny. That, and I want to clarify.
He's the one that brought
I would
Mr.
never
Magoo.
Do that. No.
Oh, I know. I would never make fun of white people either.
Yeah, well, that's strange, because I never once thought about, because I like the roundabouts. I'm in and out of some of the worst intersections that used to hold me up for minutes and minutes. I get through them in seconds now.
Oh, but so you're one of those.
I never thought, well, it's because I know how to use them.
Do you tailgate?
You know? It's not because I went to Europe and learned how to drive. Yeah. I enjoy them. I go through them. I use them how they're supposed to be used.
Let's do a little Q&A here.
But I never thought about how a blind person would cross an intersection with that. That's a valid point. So, Jenny, go ahead. What else did you have to say?
Well, you have kids, right, Gary?
I do.
Aren't you happy that both houses have passed Common Core? Aren't you glad?
No, I'm not happy. I'm not as educated as some of these people like Mary Beth and the lady who's the homeschooling lady that's on these shows here.
What's her name? Super homeschooler woman.
Yeah. But what I do know about it, I don't like. Not that I dislike everything, but this is what aggravates me about Common Core and federal standards. You know, if you are a local school board, why aren't you smart enough to look at the Common Core program, take the parts out that are good, and throw the rest away?
But you're not going to be allowed.
But
because Common Core is just another form of socialism into the schools.
You will come to our Common Core re-education camp.
That's right.
It's one step to the gulag. Yeah, so I'm not happy about it, Jenny. I don't know that there's anything I can do about it at this point. I mean, in my school district in Whitmore Lake, they passed Common Core, and they kind of snuck it through. Had I known more about it, that it was coming that quick, I would have made a bigger stink about it in the newspaper and whatnot. And I think some of the board members just weren't educated themselves. They just said, oh, yeah, it's a good thing. Let's go with it.
Well, and the word is they've been doing this for the last 3 years anyway, right?
Well,
for the most part, yes.
The principals there told me a lot of parts of Common Core they've already been using for years, like some of the math stuff. And that's why when my kid comes home with the wonky math homework, I'm like, yeah, that's – tougher way to do it. Do it the old-fashioned way, you know. And, of course, I'm sure when I go to conference, the teacher won't be happy with me.
What's the current way? With a calculator where you don't have to...
No, I can't even explain it. It's in and out with little diagrams and stuff. I don't know. It's
okay, I have one more point.
Go, Jenny.
My girlfriend is a homeschooler, and she's really upset. She went to a meeting down here and everything about it because it's even going to affect the homeschool curriculum now.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't think about it in those terms.
Yeah, that's...
homeschool would be affected by Common Core? Well,
yeah,
I guess they could.
Look, all I can say is this.
Aren't
you know what? If you want to get rid of Common Core...
Anymore.
Yeah, if you want to get rid of Common Core, you need to elect Republicans to the House, Republicans to the Senate, and a Republican
president...
But
they're the ones that passed
it. Get rid of the... I'm not talking about Michigan morons that we have here. On a federal level, we need to get...
Who
Republicans
are the
in the
real
Congress
Republicans?
And get rid of these departments of education, which do absolutely nothing but suck up dollars that should be going to our kids.
You know what we need to do before any Republican runs for office? We need to have a game show to tell the truth. Will the real Republican please stand up?
Yeah.
Well, remember that show?
Here's the other option. It's take your kids out of public school. Either homeschool them or send them to a private school.
If
you know
have
what I mean?
The money.
Charter schools. Well, some charter schools you don't.
Because then you're getting hit twice, right?
Get on the waiting list at charter schools. That'll enforce more charter schools to open up, and eventually we get rid of the system.
If you send your kid, here's a question, a sincere question. If you send your kid to private school, you have to pay the private tuition, which is sometimes like college tuition for these
private
little
schools,
kids.
Yes.
Private schools. And you're still paying the property tax,
yes,
which supports your public school,
yes,
district. Is that correct?
Yes.
So you're getting hit twice.
Yes, but charter schools use public money.
Yeah, a charter school. Which isn't really a true private school, right?
Correct.
Because they accept public money.
Well, and yes, you're correct.
Okay.
Thank you for slapping my
correct, sir.
Right, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jenny, for the call.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jenny.
Okay,
so how we get, sometimes the show just has a mind of its own, doesn't it?
Well, I think that's what's great about it.
I guess so.
Wish we could, you know, always do that.
I'm not getting just, any. All the hard work I went through. Let's move
you know
on,
what?
Shall
Forget
we?
Forget hard work. You're now in the union. And we're just going to go with it, okay? And in fact, because we're now in the union, you don't even need me. You only need one person. But I'm going to punch in anyway.
Okay. Well, anyways, let's move on with Obama.
Okay.
So after telling the Republicans, we're not going to delay, we're not going to defund, I'm not negotiating anything, all of a sudden the Obama administration is now saying, okay, we're going to delay. Let's run with track two, Derek. This is, remember, this goes back like 3-4 weeks, I think. Let's run with this track, and this is what the negotiations were originally.
President said this afternoon he's not negotiating on anything. Spending cuts, Obamacare, the debt ceiling. He is not moving. He's immovable. And what do you say to that?
We have invited the president over and over again to come and negotiate with us. We've extended the hand of friendship. We would love for him to meet us at the table and to work on these issues. The fact is, the American people do not want this law. It is not ready for implementation. He has actually delayed different provisions, made 19 different delays on this, Monica, and looking at stalling the implementation on it. But yet when we bring a bill, my bill, H.R. 2809, to delay it for 1 year, it's no, we don't want to do that. He's already admitted it's not ready for prime time. So when this hot potato comes back to us, there are a lot of my colleagues who are saying, well, we'll put a couple of other qualifiers on it, maybe a delay for a year, maybe an individual mandate delay, and we will send it back to the Senate.
Okay, so we already put 19, this is 3 weeks ago, put 19 delays into it, all illegally, mind you. Because you know what? It's a law. It is not within the scope of power of the President of the United States to say, yeah, we're not going to enforce that part of the law. Wrong. You are the executive branch. It is your job to enforce the law in total, not pieces of it, as he chooses to.
And he's always done this.
Yes. And yet the hypocrisy is he made the Republicans look like complete buffoons and idiots for even asking for a delay, which was their compromise from defunding, a common sense compromise, right? And now he's delaying it anyways. And the media doesn't pick up on it. Nobody's saying anything about it. And he gets away with it.
As always.
As always. You know, this hypocrite, and hypocrite in chief. Now listen, that was Congressman Marsha Blackburn. Let's listen to Congressman Burgess. Let's run with the second part of that.
Well, they're both valid arguments. I haven't been a big fan of delay. I thought defund was the way to go. But let's be honest. Marsha's correct. The president is the delayer in chief. It started in February when he closed the window to people who wanted to sign up for pre-existing insurance coverage. And he said, no, we're not going to sign anybody else this year. You'll have to wait till next year. The supposed cap on out-of-pocket expenses, he said enough of that. The employer mandate, that was a big deal. Right before the 4th of July, Valerie Jarrett, in a blog post, delayed that. So the president has been the big delayer now.
Right. Delayer in chief. See, I think he's been reading the Drift or something. You know what I mean? Yeah, all those nasty little comments I make about him. But anyways, again, the delay. Why are you, it's okay to delay, but when the Republicans said it was okay to delay, nah, we're not going to do that. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, he's a master at always creating the perception that it's on his terms. In a good way.
Yeah.
He's the reasonable guy. And the media just doesn't seem to ever, for the most part, critique it into reality.
Yeah. Well, and some of the bad things are what's huge, and I want to try and get to this before the end of the hour, those covered currently. Remember when he said, oh, you can keep your insurance cover? I'm not going to play the clips because what's the point? We've all heard it a million times. You're not keeping your coverage. So lie number one, already out there and big. Millions of people across the country are receiving notices saying either your spouse is going to be off or you're losing your coverage.
Or in some cases, technically, you can keep your coverage, but here's your new rate.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't afford to pay that rate, so therefore, you can't keep it.
Well, you're jumping the shark on me. Nearly 800,000 New Jersey residents have lost their health care plans as of 2014. So a year from now, they're gone, right? Care First just cut 76,000 people in Florida off their Blue First. That's a Blue Cross affiliate. 76,000 people just received their notices. It's just amazing. In New York, elderly New Yorkers are in a panic after getting notices that insurance companies are booting their doctors from the Medicare Advantage program as a result of the shifting Medicaid landscape from Obamacare.
So wait a minute. Are you actually saying that people are beginning to realize that socialized medicine may not be what they thought it was?
Look,
it doesn't always work out the way it should.
Obama's not a stupid man. Valerie Jarrett is not a stupid woman. All his people in the White House with him are not stupid. They could not have not known that this was going to be a failure. So it leaves one option. They wanted it to fail, right? And I think Matt hit it earlier on his show. This was the plan all along. They want these exchanges to fall out. They want everything to fail. They want the system to be so bad.
So we go to a single payer?
We go to the single payer.
Because they would say that would be streamlined. It's simpler.
Yeah. Why else? Ask me this. Why else would you bring in under a no-bid contract a Canadian company to build a website
that's
failing? Now, granted, Michelle's roommate may have gotten her cut out of it, obviously. But why would you bring in a Canadian company? Are you serious? Sun Microsystems? Google, Apple, IBM. We don't have an American company that could have built the Obamacare website? Are you kidding me?
Well, what cracks me up, too, is a Canadian company for a healthcare website, and you have Canadians coming over here to get their medical treatment so they don't die.
Dude, this is all done, conspiracy nut or not. I don't care what you call me. Nobody could be this stupid.
Gary, I would never say you're a conspiracy nut, just a nut.
Squirrel, that's right. Okay, so, oops, I just hit my microphone there. So premiums are rising, as you started to point out, right? Daily Beast contributor, Kirsten Dunst, it's Kirsten Powers, right? You see her on Fox all the time. She's the liberal I'm often screaming at on the news. Big supporter of Obama. This is track three, Derek. Do we have that one ready, hopefully? Okay.
Yeah. That promise that if you like your plan, you can keep it, if you like your doctor, you can keep him, is not proving true for millions of Americans.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's actually not proving true for me. I'm in the individual market, and I got the letter, the same letter everyone's talking about, and I went on to, I live in D.C., so it's a state exchange, and I went on, and I guess I could roughly get the same insurance, so it's not completely clear, but it'll go up from about $160 a month and a $2,500 deductible. If I want to keep a $2,500 deductible, it'll go up to about $300 a month. So it is going up, and now I think the administration would say, well, you're healthy and you're young, and so you're part of the people that are going to, you know, I guess maybe see your premiums go up. But I don't think that's quite the way they sold it. I mean,
Welcome to the Ponzi scheme.
Yes.
Young person, pay in.
Yes, and let the other people. Well, but the problem is, the older people aren't going to get their care either.
Right. So it's a really horrible Ponzi scheme because nobody gets anything. At least with a Ponzi scheme, somebody gets something.
Something, yes. Well, the hour's up again. Until next week, go to thedailydrift.com. Read the stories I post there to educate yourself so that you can call in next week and give us your views, because this show is yours as well as ours. See you next week.
See you next week.